Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter, where Luke records, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. In Luke's Gospel, just prior to our text this morning, Jesus is teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God on the last day, the coming of the kingdom of God on the last day. He tells them about his soon coming suffering, and then the sufferings that they would go through, the trials and sorrows, until Jesus returns on the last day. He urges them to be prepared, saying, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of these days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it." He goes on to say, "Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it." This is a stark warning for all Christians. Until Jesus returns on the last day, the life of the Christian is going to be filled with sufferings and sorrows and trials and tribulations. We hear about this Christian persecution around the world, and it is beginning to creep in more and more into the United States, but it's going to get worse. In the words of an old rock and roll song, "Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet." Like Jesus' first disciples, you and I also need reassurance and encouragement to fight the good fight of faith in a faithless world, a world that does not endure sound Christian teaching, but a world that chases after their own passions and false myths. Jesus gives you the encouragement that you need in our text this morning. It is a parable to the effect that you ought always to pray and not lose heart. Many times in parables, you and I lock onto just one point of the parable that we most identify with, but then miss the greater teaching of the parable. And in this parable, it's really tempting to lock onto the widow. We notice her pleas to this unjust judge. But the parable is not about her pleas to the unjust judge. We also look at the unjust judge, and we look at him and think, well, he is a good comparison of God. Well, it is true. It is an argument from the far lesser to the far greater. God is nothing at all like the unjust judge. If we focus on the unjust judge, it makes us think that we can badger God and tire him out so that he gives in to our every whim. To be sure, God does answer our prayers. If we identify too much with the woman who badgers the judge, then we are believing that, well, maybe I'm not good enough at prayer and I need to do better. Well, while that may be true, God does not answer our prayers because of us beating him down. The main actor in the parable is God. And the take-home point is what Luke says right before the parable. Always pray. Do not lose heart. The take-home point is what Jesus says within the parable. Your Heavenly Father will provide justice for all his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. So the parable is not saying that if you're really terrible at prayer, you better get better or else you won't be saved. And while maybe it is true your prayer life could be much better, we all could do much better, because there's many distractions in the world that keeps us from praying. And the key to those distractions is it comes from Satan. The devil, the world, and your sinful flesh all fight against you, trying to distract you from proper prayer and proper devotional life and meditation on God's word. He distracts you with everyday comings and goings in life. You get sidetracked by household chores and work that you must do to earn a living. You're distracted by automobiles and homes that have breakdowns and need repair. Your marriages and family relations become fractured or broken and need reconciliation. Even your mental health and your physical health deteriorates. And at some point, it will be beyond repair. And with all these distractions, you're going this way and that way, and Satan's rubbing his hands together in glee, thinking, now I've got you distracted, and you're not praying as you ought. You're not trusting in God as you ought. Jesus gives you hope, though. He tells you to always call upon God. That's why he told this parable. Always call upon God so you do not lose heart. Trust in God's help no matter what your afflictions may be. Many times those afflictions are deep and great. God is there to hear and answer your prayer. There are many reasons to prayer. Scripture says prayers of intercession and thanksgiving. And yes, Scripture does command us to prayer, but there comes the question of justice in our text. The woman is pleading for justice. Justice can be defined as fair and impartial determination of rights according to the rules of law. The widow knows that she is in the right. She knows that her adversary has wronged her, so she continually comes demanding the judge, give me justice against my adversary. The unjust judge is not a picture of God, for apart from Jesus Christ, it would be foolish for anyone to go to a judge like our God and demand justice. Do you really want to approach the throne of our holy and righteous God and demand justice? He's the judge, and you are the one who is as guilty as sin. You and I are no better than the unjust judge in our parable. You and I neither fear God nor respect our neighbor. And if God were to determine your rights under the law, apart from Christ Jesus, his only pronouncement upon you would be eternal damnation. For you and I and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Yet for you, brother and sister Christian, your Heavenly Father doesn't pour out that wrathful justice that you deserve and that you have earned. But he grants you justice, the justice that his Son, Christ Jesus, has earned on your behalf. He earned it in his life, suffering, death, and resurrection. You receive Jesus' justice in the holy waters of baptism. Titus explains it this way. He says, according to God's own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that becoming justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You are justified. God declares you not guilty of your sin for the sake of Jesus. So while all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, you are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Yes, the comparison of the widow, or the comparison of the unjust judge and God, is an argument from the far lesser to the far greater. And it is true that if an unjust judge, who neither fears God nor respects man, does relent and give in to a persistent widow, how much more will your heavenly Father hear your pleas for justice, hear your prayers of petitions and supplications, and provide justice for you who cry out to him day and night? The judge had no relationship with the widow, but you are God's chosen one, his beloved. Jesus promises that he is coming soon, and that is good news for all those who believe in him. In our text, Jesus says, "I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So the parable is to exhort you to always pray, not lose heart. And the good news is not that God will answer your each and every prayer according to your will and according to your timeline. The good news is that God gives you justice speedily. And it's true, in our minds, what looks like speedily to the Christian certainly does not sound like that speed to us. Sometimes it appears that God is not listening or he has forsaken you. Yes, there are times when God, in his mysterious wisdom, allow his children to suffer all sorts of pain, grief, and sorrow. But you see, when life is easy, the sinful man forgets that he desperately needs a Savior. It's when your road is dark and narrow that you are forced to grasp Jesus by faith, to grasp onto all of his promises by faith, walking by faith, not by sight. The devil will be right there. He's trying to distract you from Jesus. He gives you more chores and more sorrows. He afflicts your relationships and your marriages and your health. He's the one who's trying to persuade you that God is not listening. So, dear Christian, cling to God's word. Cling to the scriptures, for they are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. Trust God's word that he works all things together. He works all things for your good, according to his wisdom and according to his timing. Besides, just think about it. As you're crying out for justice against one of your adversaries, maybe God is pausing, allowing that adversary an opportunity to repent on their own, that they may come to faith in Christ Jesus. Perhaps he waits to deliver you so that you remember that his grace is sufficient for you and that his power is made perfect in weakness. Or perhaps God is tarrying to strengthen your faith and teach you the importance of regular prayer, preparing you for the future and whatever else lies ahead. Jesus asks the question, when he returns on the last day, will he find faith? Well, of course he will. Faith is when the Christian trusts in God's promises. When you trust that you are justified before God on account of Jesus' death as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. This isn't a faith that you can generate on your own or something you can go out and earn. It's God's gift to you. In baptism, God began this good work in you, and he continues to strengthen and sustain your faith right here each week in Word and Sacrament. In baptism, God grafted you into his holy family. And like a little branch that is grafted into the vine, at the font You were grafted into God's family and recipients of the new covenant, the covenant promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God chose you as his own child, and just like that little branch grafted into the vine remains vibrant by remaining in the vine, you remain steadfast in the true faith when you remain grafted in the true vine, which is Christ Jesus. For apart from the true vine, you can do nothing. Faithful prayer doesn't come from guilting people and spending more time begging God and trying to badger him down. Faithful prayers come from trusting in the one whom loved you from before the foundation of the world. Trusting in the one who bore God's entire wrath against your sin and the sin of your adversary, so that you might receive justice on this side of heaven and eternal justice in the kingdom of heaven. When we understand grace and the generosity of our Father, we can't help but call out to him always, day and night. Those prayers don't come from a hope that we will get each and everything that we want, but those prayers come from a hope in the confidence that Christ Jesus on the last day will finally give us true justice and make all things right. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.